Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
We welcome in Sarah Cazell to take us through social studies, as only she can do.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, hello, guys. Sarah.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome into Social Studies.
Hello.
Hello. We do this every day at 1 o'clock. And if you don't use Twitter, you should, because that's where all of our questions go, courtesy of Jarrett Carlin. They're posted there. You can respond there. And that is how I find our fabulous answers to read every day. So let's start with an open-ended question, a fill-in-the-blank question.
Okay.
Related to last night's ASU-U of A basketball game. It was an 80-67 loss for ASU, but at one point the Devils trailed by as much as 25 points. They shaved it down near the end, but it was a rough start to the game, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
So, open-ended, again, specifically for ASU fans, last night's game was harder to watch than blank.
Than a 24-hour marathon of two broke girls.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
That is a good one.
Yeah, I could just vote for Caddyshack, too.
Okay.
Yeah,
I told you.
That was easy for you.
I watched part of another comedic sequel yesterday. Cannonball Run 2 was on.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, Burt Reynolds was lucky he was good looking at that time, because he made some just dog crap movies.
He was so big in that Smokey and the Bandit series.
Yeah,
he literally was like, "I get to drive a cool car in this movie. I'm in,
and I get to hang out with Dom DeLuise."
That's right. Yeah. Right.
A lot of good replies from our listeners to this question. Joey Artigue, whom we all know and love, he says last night's game was harder to watch than a Cliff Kingsbury coach team in the 2-minute offense before halftime.
Or the second half.
So, right, it doesn't really matter. V. Griffin 12 says it was tougher than losing to a third string quarterback, followed up by losing to a first time NFL starter to go to the playoffs.
Ooh.
We're just having a great time here at Valley Sports.
Poor Cardinals.
I know. Jake Ryan says it was harder than a University of Arizona fan watching the most recent football game. That was going to happen. Ann Webb, I love this one.
Don't read that one.
Okay.
Why?
I'll tell you afterwards, but don't read that one.
Yeah.
Paul Surdykowski. You're going to like this one instead. Paul Surdykowski says it was harder than waiting for Jarrett Carlin to pick out shirts at a thrift shop. And the final
one. That's actually enjoyable compared to what we watched last night.
How about this one? Last night's ASU-U of A game was harder to watch than listening to a parody song by Jarrett Carlin.
What's going on here?
That was from David.
This is
Beaton.
A question about ASU basketball, and the Cardinals and me get all the brunt of the damage.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's social studies.
How about
every day
this one? Harder to watch than Gambo or Sarah on a dance show.
I didn't see that response. Who wrote that one?
Conveniently.
No, I really didn't.
Chris Reckenbecker.
Oh, right.
You know, Sarah was on a dance show on television.
What?
It was not. Okay, let's clarify. It
Gambo was on Dance Party USA.
Yes.
A show that I watched on a semi-regular basis as a youngster.
So this was, I don't know Dance Party USA, but I'm guessing it was similar. It was in San Francisco. It was on a local cable access show. And it was not like a dance talent show. It was everyone's going to get tanked, put on super weird costumes, and we all dance on this TV show for an hour. And that's what it was.
Do you have video of this?
Somewhere. I don't know where, but I do know the clips are somewhere in an old email.
You know what? Going back to the original question,
yes.
I haven't brought this up yet, but I talked to you about it, Bick. People watching that basketball game on a certain provider, not only was the game hard to watch from an ASU standpoint, there was video glitches every 3 to 5 seconds, which made me want to kick a hole in my television set. So I thought it was maybe just me, but it wasn't just me.
And then the final answer for that question is my response. It was harder than a down pillow. Hee-hee. Anyway, just let me enjoy it.
All right,
moving on to our next question.
Hold on one sec. We got to get this in, Sarah.
What?
Does this guy have a mustache or not?
He didn't even get that one right. He got the
That is funny that you asked me the question 2 weeks ago and I didn't get it right today. That is kind of funny.
Right. Do you remember it for next week?
Yeah, exactly.
Write it down.
Repetition.
Yeah, that's right. On a more somber note, today is the one-year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant and eight others, including his daughter, Gigi. What is a moment in major sports news that you will always remember where you were when it happened?
Well, the events of the last year certainly will always resonate. But for me, 1989 World Series, Giants and A's, when the earthquake hit that closed things down. I was getting a sandwich at the College Street Deli across from my dorm at ASU.
Is that right?
Yeah. Loved that place.
I was on the air doing
morning. Turned out to be a horrible World Series, by the way.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was. Well, that long break layoff didn't help.
Yeah.
I was on the air doing morning drive radio by myself when the news broke that Pat Tillman died. And the news broke in terms of it just kind of like it was really weird. It was we got a phone call from somebody who said, I don't know.
That was pre-Twitter, right? Pre-social media.
Yeah. I don't know if it was pre-social media or not, but I do know that it kind of just, it just wasn't the Associated Press reporting it. It was just, it came out of like some, just it just came out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
And then having to kind of see that thing through was, yeah, I'd never forget that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Justin Yarbrough says, Kobe's death. A year ago, my wife and I were visiting family in Texas. I got a push notification on my phone, and we immediately went hunting for a sports talk station. Gene Lilly says Magic Johnson's announcement that he had HIV.
I would say the events of 9/11 when I had a program director who wanted me to do a four-hour talk show on sports that day, and I told her to bite the wall.
Yeah, that's a no. That's a no. Toria says what you said, Vince, the 1989 earthquake during the World Series. She says it shook our house even though we were 5 hours away.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Wild. Sundarous Dunks says the only one for me is Charles Barkley to Phoenix. Saw it on the ESPN ticker when I came home from school. I started screaming.
There's some sarcastic answers, too, that are making me laugh.
Ooh, should we do that so it's not so sad? Because I was going to read two very sad ones.
Go ahead. This is your deal, Sarah.
Okay, fair enough.
You control our emotions on this segment.
You mentioned the death of Pat Tillman, Bic.
Yeah.
JSP says that was his as well. I was in the parking lot before starting my shift at work. I called in to say I was going to be a bit late. I needed time to process everything that had just happened.
Wow.
And then Brandon Murata says probably the death of Jose Fernandez back in 2016, that boating accident.
Yeah. Interesting.
I remember waking up to an alert with the news and I thought I was dreaming. Yeah, I remember that one pretty clearly too. That was really sad. Okay, on a lighter note, to the Cardinals.
Earlier, the Cardinals discussions have been very light lately.
Yeah, but everyone's still alive, so that's good news. earlier in the show, you were talking about their style of offense, if it needs to change heading into the 2021 season, yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think most needs to happen next season to improve the Cardinals' offense? Here are four options for you to vote on.
All right.
A more consistent run game, better use of DeAndre Hopkins. The Cards need to acquire more talent, or they need to let Kyler cook.
I apologize for whistling on the air. I'm really thinking here. Of those four, it's between two for me. It's between a more consistent run game or acquiring more talent.
That's where I'm at, too. That's exactly where I'm at. I do think they can use DeAndre Hopkins better.
I agree with that.
But his production wasn't like that down. It didn't drop precipitously.
No.
So even though there's elements of being whatever they are that ring true, I think that's the answer.
Yeah.
And if I had to vote for one, I think I'm going to vote for getting more talent.
Acquiring more talent?
Yeah.
Okay. That was what our listeners voted for as well. 37% think the Cards just need to get more talented players. 29% want a more consistent run game. 19% better utilization of DeAndre Hopkins. And then 14% said let Kyler cook. And then quickly, we got to get out of here. But last question. As Arizonans, whenever it's not, 90 and sunny, we got to talk about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So open-ended, what does your perfect weather day look like?
sunny, clear skies with a high of 72. Overnight low of 65.
Yeah.
Traffic and weather on the 10s. That's about it for me. Basically, anytime I go to San Diego, it's perfect weather for me.
Yeah.
Although I have been really cold in San Diego.
Yeah, that June gloom is real.
Yeah.
I would like a day not dissimilar to today. A lot of clouds, a lot of gray, a lot of chill, and then it begins to snow massively as soon as I get home from the liquor store.
Yes!
See what I did there?
Perfect.
That's specific.
As soon as I get home from the liquor store, that's when it starts to snow very heavily.
All right, we got a break.
And you start
but I'm
to drink
read.
Very heavily.
One response.
Okay.
From Kendrick. Thede? I'm sorry, I don't know how to say your last name. Spring training on the lawn, sunny day, beer in my hand at Salt River Fields.
Hard to beat.
That's
yeah,
it.
That's a good one.
That's the winner.
Yep. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
I think we should do this again tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I'll send out a calendar invite. Everybody good?
Yes.
All right, cool. Coming up next, some NFL hash marks. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
Matthew Stafford is in a situation where he's not going to be back in Detroit next season, Hatter. They are going to move on from him, and they are going to listen to offers starting this week for Matthew Stafford. Keep in mind, the Senior Bowl is getting underway in Mobile, Alabama. Lions officials will be there. I would imagine they will have trade conversations while there for Matthew Stafford, and I think they're looking for at least a first-round draft pick in return for arguably the greatest quarterback in franchise history. But he turns 33 next month on Super Bowl Sunday, I believe, and they are looking to move on, get what they can. Matthew Stafford will have a new home, and I think he's going to garner plenty of interest around the league.
My only takeaway from that soundbite from Adam Schefter, not the only one, but the first one is, man, what a dubious title to have. The greatest quarterback in Detroit Lions history.
Eric Hipple, Eric Kramer,
Greg Landry,
Scott Mitchell.
Wow. Charlie Batch. Oh, yeah, he was one of them.
I like Matthew Stafford as a quarterback. Since this story has come out, his legendary last heroics against Cleveland all those years ago when he was playing with a separated shoulder.
Yep.
He's a tough guy, really good passer. I think he's wasted away in Detroit for 12 years. It's time for him to move
completely
on.
Completely agree. Yeah. When we start talking about things like player empowerment and all that kind of stuff, it's generally perceived as a negative thing. People wanting to take an easier path to get out of where they're at for a place they'd rather be. I don't think anybody will hold it against Matthew Stafford for going, okay, I've had about enough of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And his wife is pretty active and outspoken on social media too. And I think she came out at one point during this past year and said, "I'm done living in Michigan," for reasons that were not related to football or the Lions, but it was more COVID-19 related and shutdown quarantine related. But it's probably time. Now, I did run across an article today where they're speculating on what quarterback is going to end up where. And this particular article had Deshaun Watson still engineering his way out of Houston and ending up with the New York Jets, which, according to the reports, the Jets are the highest team on Deshaun Watson's list of destinations.
Well, that's rather interesting.
But this same article had Matthew Stafford landing in San Francisco. So my days of liking Matthew Stafford that much could be over.
Okay, yeah, I don't think that's where he's going to end up. I think a perfect fit for Matthew Stafford is in Indianapolis. Just kind of fits the offense. He kind of does what Phillip Rivers can do. I kind of see
even more so.
Yeah, even more
better,
so.
Much better arm at this point.
Right.
Much more mobility at this point.
That would be a good get for the Colts if they could pull off that trade. Then it just becomes a matter of the other guys. But, yeah, Matthew Stafford, I agree with you. I think he's a very talented guy. I think he has never had a chance at succeeding in Detroit. It's because they're the Lions. You've heard me say this many times because the Cardinals have played them many times in the last 10 years. They're the opponent that never fears you, that you never fear. Mm-hmm. You never look at the schedule and go, oh, man, We got the Lions in 3 weeks. You just got to go, okay, you know what? All right. As long as we don't commit five turnovers, we'll find a way to win that game.
Yeah. On the San Francisco quarterback front, the speculation building there, too, very early in the offseason for them. We had Bill Barnwell from ESPN.com on yesterday, and he talked about what he thinks is going to happen with the San Francisco quarterback situation.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to make a change. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo making more than $20 million in 2021, unguaranteed for a guy who, when he's healthy, is pretty good, not a huge difference maker, a guy who you're going to have to scheme stuff up for. And on top of that, a guy who has not been healthy. And so let's see, if you're the Niners and you have cap constraints, which they do, how you can commit $20 million to Jimmy Garoppolo next year. So I think you have to go one of two directions. Either you're going to be getting a guy like a Watson or a Stafford, which is certainly plausible for them. Not out of the question. I think they'll make a move for one of those two guys and getting a better player quarterback. Or what I could also see is them trading up and saying, hey, if we get a quarterback situation here, if we get a cheap quarterback, like a Trey Lance or somebody, in the top five or six picks of the first round, we'll have a cheap option at quarterback, and we can keep some of these guys who are free agents. Maybe we can keep a Trent Williams, where we would have to let him leave in free agency, or we can keep a Richard Sherman, or we can keep a Fred Warner. You know, they're going to have to make some tough decisions, and getting cheaper at quarterback lets them hold on to more of the players on their roster. So wouldn't shock me if they, like someone in the draft, if they trade up and sort of go that route.
Yeah, there's so many moving pieces to it, and this tweet just came out today. Lindsay Thury, who covers the Rams for ESPN.com, Les Snead acknowledges, he's the GM of the Rams, that it would be difficult to move on from Jared Goff because of the salary cap, but also says that, quote, anything can be done in the salary cap. So we're going to get into more specifically the Aaron Rodgers situation, and there seems to be some kind of thought, too, that L.A. could be a landing spot there. And I agree with that last part, the assessment of Les Snead. You can get creative. You can make things happen. But certainly, when you look at the NFC West landscape, the Rams are way more handcuffed than the 49ers are in terms of salary cap space and situation in making a quarterback upgrade.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't think the Rams are going to sit pat, though, with Jared Goff either. But I don't know where they turn. But this will be interesting. I ran across this stat as it relates to Tom Brady, a quarterback that had no place to go, really, other than Tampa, unless he could have talked the Chargers into being interested. And I'm not sure that would have happened. And Justin Herbert turned out to be pretty darn good for them. All time NFL playoff wins. The Patriots have 37 of them, all-time NFL playoff wins. Mm-hmm. They're number one. The Packers and the Steelers have 36 apiece. They're number two and three, respectively. The Cowboys have 35 playoff wins. They're number four. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Those four teams at the top of the playoff win list make it probably exactly what you might think,
sure,
given the scope of history. Number five, Tom Brady alone has 33 playoff wins. Tom Brady's individual playoff wins would rank fifth among NFL teams
in
all-time history.
The Patriots had four playoff wins before Tom Brady?
Yeah.
That's a Super Bowl, right?
That would be the stunner, wouldn't it? Steve Grogan, Tony Eason, Sam Bam Cunningham,
Mosi Tatupu.
Drew Bledsoe got them to the Super Bowl.
Yes, he did. But so did Steve Grogan and Tony Eason.
Who was that? Randy Vataha! Remember Randy Vataha?
John Hanner?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what happened. I think it's one of those gas leak days. It started right around 11:30.
Right around 11:30. The rains in Africa, when they came pouring down. That's when it happened.
One note, too, on the Deshaun Watson front. There were reports over the weekend that said, hey, Deshaun Watson's at the point. It doesn't matter who the Texans hire as their head coach. He's done.
Is that right?
But Adam Schefter says the Texans, to their credit, to their incompetency, they still believe that a new head coach could persuade their quarterback to stay in town.
They still think that depending on who they hire as a head coach, that he may be able to be the bridge that brings Deshaun Watson back. Now, as Chris Morgenson said on Sunday Countdown, as I've been told as well, it doesn't look that way to me. I think whoever takes that head coaching job is going to have a tough time changing Deshaun Watson's mind. I think that his feelings are not a reflection of who's going to be the coach or the general manager, in this case, Nick Cassero. I think his feelings are a reflection of the organization, ownership, and I think that he wants to move on. I think he's dug in, and I don't know who they hire if that has any bearing on Deshaun Watson's feelings. I still think he's going to want to be traded.
Wow.
How much money would you bet, would you be willing to bet that Deshaun Watson stays in Houston?
I don't know.
Wouldn't be a very big amount of money for
me. No, it would not be. It would not be. So what's even more interesting, though, if you're going to go down that road, why would you target the Jets?
Look, Deshaun Watson, he's done a little bit of national advertising stuff. That AWS commercial he does is really good. You're in the heart of Madison Avenue there. And if you can, somebody told me this once upon a time. If you can make it there.
We can anywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. Coming up next, we'll have more specifically on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Is he angling for a contract or is he angling for an exit from Green Bay? We'll get into all of it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
A lot of guys' futures that are, uncertain. You know, myself included. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now, and I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. It's really tough to get to this point, and that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks.
It's Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, after his team was eliminated in the NFC Championship for the second straight year, and a little vague language. Last week, he said his future was a beautiful mystery, uncertain futures for a lot of guys. Today, a little bit of a different tune from Aaron Rodgers. He does a weekly spot on the Pat McAfee show. Pat McAfee, the former punter in the NFL, has become quite the media darling.
Yeah.
He's a really entertaining guy.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Aaron Rodgers said today, I don't think there's any reason why I wouldn't be back in Green Bay.
I have that cut right here.
Okay.
I don't feel like I said anything that I hadn't said before. I said it the first time I talked to the media. It was more a realization, I think, that ultimately my future is not necessarily in my control. And I think that was what just kind of hit me in the moment. I was thinking about, Aaron Jones and Corey Linsley and other guys we have under contract, Big Dog, guys who I don't know what their future is going to be, and myself included. Now, obviously, after the season that I had and, potentially win an MVP, and, we obviously made it to another good run. I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But, look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
He also said about all the talk, speculation about his future. He said it's a slow week.
Okay. Well, clearly, come on. That's silly.
He's fanning the flames a little bit.
Without Absolutely. A doubt. So there's one of two things that have happened here. It's either the swell of interest and craziness around this story has gotten to the point where he and the Packers have decided, okay, let's calm this thing down. Or Aaron Rodgers was looking for something in particular, whether it was a contract extension plus greater commitment to whatever, and maybe the Packers have already pacified those concerns. Now, the Packers CEO, Mark Murphy, came out and said, we're not idiots. We're not letting this happen to us. And I guess that's all well and good. I suppose time will tell. I mean, there are... When you put all these comments together from Aaron Rodgers, they feel a little heavier than, oh, no, man, that was just heat of the moment. It feels like somebody who is eyeing someplace else. What Aaron Rodgers just, and I think it really did appropriately freak out people in Green Bay. You could only imagine. being a Packers fan and going, what?
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers is also, he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell just by the amount of thought he put into that answer. And he might be angling for something from Green Bay. This is a way to do it. I disagree with Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's in a very, very small group of NFL players right now who absolutely could control their futures.
Oh, without a doubt.
He can make things very difficult on Green Bay. And one of the things that surprised me about all this speculation, Vic, and the response from the Green Bay side, people looking at the Green Bay side of it is, oh, they're not going to let Aaron Rodgers walk away. Well, no, they wouldn't let him walk away. But if he wants to do it, they would be compensated very handsomely for it in the form of draft picks and players.
As I said earlier, there's a lot of people who are football people who have not been paying attention to the NBA and the age of empowerment and the handbook that is now out there to get where you want to go. And if you take a look at that, your mind's going to change and you're going to realize the people that had control don't have it anymore. It looks like they do, but they don't. And so how it relates to Aaron Rodgers, I would be a little bit, I'm not saying disappointed if Aaron Rodgers was doing this specifically for financial gain, that he was creating this negative energy and ill feelings about everything going on around him just to get more money back in return for the Packers. That would be pretty cheeseball in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But if he wanted to make a point that, look, you guys drafted Jordan Love in the first round. You didn't even consider that I might want to play three more years, and you just spent a number one draft pick on something that was not capital for winning right here and now, and you can't do that while I'm here. And maybe, okay, we're sorry, our bad. Maybe it's a series of stuff like that, and I hope it is. I don't want Aaron Rodgers to leave Green Bay.
No.
Because I don't want him to go to San Francisco.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is something to be said about the timing of comments, too.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to Mike McCarthy's last year in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers was not happy. Aaron Rodgers lost a game that he started to Josh Rosen and the Arizona Cardinals that year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad things were in Green Bay. So the arrival of Matt LaFleur, even in year one, 13 wins. They go to the NFC Championship game. They accomplish the exact same thing this year. There's a higher level of disappointment because they were a better team this year, even though the record looked identical. But there was frustration in losing that game. And Aaron Rodgers was not without criticism for that loss either. That third down play before the decision to kick the field goal is probably running through his head a lot. Mm-hmm. And he even made reference to it after the game and said, look, if I would have known we were going to kick the field goal, maybe I would have done something different.
Mm-hmm.
Something different meaning try to scramble for it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an end zone shot today or that field camera that hangs over. I don't think anybody was touching him if he decided to run.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's referencing that play because I think a lot of people were questioning him on that play.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even so, even if you're armed with the fact that, hey, we're going for it on fourth down, don't you want to gain yards there? Isn't fourth and goal from the two better than fourth and goal from the eight, potentially?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So that excuse only plays so far, in my opinion. It's a way to express unhappiness with the people around him, which is why yesterday, until I heard those latest comments from Aaron Rodgers, I viewed this very strongly as a player looking to pull the ripcord.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, sounds maybe not.
I have one more cut here from today. It's about a minute long also. This is about wanting to be a Packer for life and how he felt when they drafted Jordan Love and how he's sort of come to terms with everything like that.
To me, a reality, not a certainty or an absolute, is that my future is not in my hands. Now, that's really the case for all of us, I think, as players. But you can't, I think, naturally... There's times where you let your mind go to maybe, well, I'm going to be a Packer for life, or I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be like a Tim Duncan or a Jeter or a Kobe and play with one team my entire career. I think naturally you dream about that. I mean, that's kind of like a dream scenario, and I've talked about that for much of my career. I think, you know, when they drafted Jordan, it was more just like the reality kicking in going, hey, that's actually never the case. There are no absolutes in this business. And I think it's a beautiful thing to sit with and to wrap your head around. And I did. And I got to a beautiful place about it. Doesn't mean that that's not still a reality. I think that's the only reality. is that there is no absolutes in this business. I just reiterated that after the game, and I get it. Some people are like, well, you just threw 48 touchdowns and probably going to win MVP. Yeah, I understand that. But again, there's no absolutes in this business. So I gave a real answer in the moment. And then people, obviously, it's a slow week.
Yeah.
What he's saying is there's no absolutes in this business.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers is a big freaking deal in the context of the NFL and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with being a slow week.
He also did admit that he already has his MVP speech written on this interview. And Pat McAfee asked if he was going to go back and watch the film, and he said probably Saturday at 4:20 p.m. Central Time is when he'll go watch the film.
It kind of sounds like tape that interview at 4:20 if you listen to him.
He's talking about being in a beautiful place. There was a lot of chuckling and giggling going on there.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
Okay.
There are no certainties in this thing we call reality. No absolutes.
But I was able to get to a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Starting to talk like Bill Walton. That was the sixth worst game in the history of Arizona State basketball, Dave Pasch. Yeah.
Dave, are you old enough to remember Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback?
Have you ever heard of Amos Alonzo Stagg? So that's the latest with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's good.
All right,
good
scratch
stuff.
Him off
no,
the list.
Good stuff.
He's
no.
not going to San Francisco.
I wouldn't Stafford say that yet.
Stafford to San Francisco. Watson to the Jets.
Okay. That's your new bet?
I mean, I reserve the right to change my mind every day from
not
now
a bad
until
call.
Then. But
not a bad call.
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Fight.
Well, here's some comments from DeAndre Ayton today as the Suns get ready for Oklahoma City. Wow. That and final thoughts next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Toto, not a mustache.
Vinny just predicted that 10 seconds ago, by the way.
Now, instead of having...
If you wanted to be different today, you could have done Africa's Weezer's cover version of it.
Yeah. But that would have been planned.
I love this song. I know people hate it. I think it's so, I don't know, catchy, I guess.
Soothing?
This was not picked. This is because it was raining today. Nothing to do with any screw-ups from earlier in the show.
Of course. And apparently I inspired at least one listener with my gesture of not taking the points.
Oh, you did? Yeah, no, that was...
gave me a
that was really, yeah, it was really a classy gesture on your behalf, and it illustrates how non-threatened you are by me in this game now.
No, because it's about sportsmanship and fair play.
Right. You made a stand for it today, brother.
That's nothing
that's
I
you,
haven't
man.
Done in other editions of the game, like give little tiny
no,
hints.
But you,
that
you,
was,
but you
that
have
was
to understand.
Very leading.
You have to understand how demeaning Vinny would hear that. He's the expert at trivia, and you're giving him help. It's like, Michael Jordan, you need help with that layup? You want to stand on my shoulders to make this shot?
Full admission, too. I was going to say that before he even said anything.
Yeah. I'm sure you were.
Cost me 2 points, you jerk. That's today's Song of the Day. I have a feeling it'll be Song of the Day next Tuesday as well.
Mm.
That's just a guess.
And I'll bet you this, too. I'll bet you if you give me Africa by Toto and Mustache Not a Mustache next week, I'll still get it wrong. Because I still don't know what the right answer is because I'm so mad at you for playing it twice in a row.
Bickley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
All right, every once in a while, I like to be the one to ask the question.
Wow.
So today, you know, we're down to two quarterbacks standing in the NFL. You got a Michigan quarterback in Tom Brady, a Texas Tech quarterback in Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Question today is to Jarrett, to Bick. Sarah's not here. What is the only college to produce four different Super Bowl starting quarterbacks. Let me know if you want a hint.
What is Stanford?
It's a great guess, and you're very close. They've had two.
Okay.
Jim Plunkett and John Elway.
Hey, John, I was hoping there was a couple more somewhere. Yeah.
Andrew Luck never made it. Jarrett, do you have a guess?
He's very close in that they had more than one, or
no, he's very close maybe in a Pac-12 or California.
So I was going to say Pittsburgh.
It's not Pittsburgh. They've had one.
Oh.
Dan Marino. Close is a very operative word here.
California?
California is the correct answer.
Berkeley Bears?
Is that right?
Yes. Joe Capp started for the Vikings in Super Bowl IV. Craig Morton started two Super Bowls. One for the Cowboys, one for the Broncos. Super Bowl VI and Super Bowl XII. Aaron Rodgers in Super Bowl 45. And Jared Goff. And here's another bit to this. Vince Ferragamo, who started Super Bowl 14 for the Rams, started his college career at Cal and then transferred to Nebraska.
Wow.
California quarterback factory.
Who would have guessed that, right?
Yeah, we talked about today being a sad anniversary, and it certainly is, but it's also the anniversary of something happy, too.
Is it really?
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Just a reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
So the Tribe drops its third straight on this trip, 6-1 to the Rangers. For the Indians, one run on, let's say, one hit. That's all we got. One damn hit.
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Today's the anniversary of Bob Uecker's birth, 86 years ago today.
Wow.
And
I must be in the front row.
Those commercials. I was reading about, as I was putting that together, I was reading trivia about his character. And that he was approached to play that character, Harry Doyle, based on his beer commercials and his Mr. Belvedere stint.
Mm-hmm.
David Ward, who was the director, had no idea he was actually a play-by-play announcer.
You're kidding.
So it was perfect.
I always find that's just so... it's like, imagine you were watching a sitcom, and all of a sudden the star of the sitcom was Greg Schulte. I mean, it's the same thing if you live in Milwaukee. It's so weird.
Yeah, I guess. I never really thought of it that way, but yeah, you're right. What would a sitcom starring Greg Schulte be like? I'm not asking. It's rhetorical.
Yeah, I know. I got nothing. But I think it also speaks to a dying era of broadcasters. They used to be just, you know,
personalities.
Oh yeah, megawatt personality kind of dudes. Now everyone's scared of their own shadows.
Yeah, it's true. DeAndre Ayton spoke to the media today. I don't know if you saw this. Nikola Jokic said a lot of great things after the game about DeAndre Ayton. Said he's amazing. He lauded him for knowing what he needs to work on and his defense and things like that. So DeAndre Ayton was asked about that today. You know, what do you think about maybe the best center in the league, Nikola Jokic, giving you some praise?
That's amazing. I'm doing something right. you know. That's, you know, I give him his praise. You know that, you know what he mean to me. That's the number one center in this league to me. And, you know, just what he do and what he brings to the game is tremendous. And I always look up to it and try to take things from him and, you know, just try to learn from it and put it in my game as well. No matter how you try to shut this dude down, he still finds a way, you know, to be the player he is. And, you know, I love competing against him and, you know, talk here and there while we battling, and you know, it's just good spirits, and just to hear that, he means, you know, make me want to keep working for real, you know. You know, just hearing the recognition of my hard work is amazing. I just want to keep working harder and harder.
And to pull back the curtain, you smile every time we play a DeAndre Ayton soundbite.
Well, it's so ridiculous. I mean, he gets
filled with wonder.
Oh, he really. It's really I don't know what to make of it. Yeah, so full of wonder.
He does play well against Jokic. And, man, yeah. I know I'm not breaking news here, but watching him play back-to-back nights, Jokic, what a beast of a player he is.
Yeah.
Just the unique skill set, and he makes it look so easy. To do what he does in traffic, grabbing offensive rebounds, getting that close to the hoop without, supreme jumping ability, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, the young man DA is on a good roll here, and if he can just sustain this, and then the Suns can get busy refitting everything back around him, we'll have something good here.
I mentioned this in the splash too. LeBron went off for 46 points last night against the Cavaliers. Lakers are 10-0 on the road. Cleveland's actually pretty good. They play really hard. He was spurred on by clapping from an employee. Jason Hillman, the Cavs basketball chief of staff, was sitting in a group by the baseline with the rest of the Cavs front office and clapping to celebrate an errant shot by James. LeBron said afterwards, quote, "I felt like he was just a little bit too excited about seeing me miss. He was really excited about me missing that shot, a little bit more extra than I would have liked. But he's got to root for his team, obviously, and he was. He showcased that. So I knew I had another quarter, and the fourth quarter's my favorite."
Wow. That's very Jordan-esque.
Man,
imagine he might get there after all.
Imagine getting to the point where you just need to look for something artificial and outside to kick you in the butt to get to that level again.
Because
it
you've
works.
Exhausted everything else and beaten down everyone else in your path.
Yes.
I don't get it either. It's ridiculous.
I took offense to that.
They just showed that Kobe clutch bucket, the running one-hander. If you look right to the right, I'm sitting right there, Vinny.
You were just on the jump?
Yeah, I'll never forget that game. That was one of the best Kobe Bryant games of all time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was really random and out of left field. It shows you how distracted I am.
This whole show has been random and out of left field.
That's true.
That's a great way to end it.
Pretty good, though.
Thanks, fun. Thanks to Kellen Olsen, AQ Shipley. Thanks to you for hanging out with us as well. We'll catch you tomorrow at 10. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.